So I grew up in Hong Kong. Among the most formative years of my life were spent in this colony of the UK. So that was from age 12 to 17. Hong Kong was my world. And we lived near a small market town called Stanley. It's sort of half local market, half tourist trap kind of place. And every week I'd be down amongst the stalls three or four times a week, you know, running an errand or looking for something for myself or just walking. I suspect roughly half my ties came from Stanley Market in Hong Kong. You couldn't look up at the sky down some of the streets because it had so many tarps and shutters overlapping and over these pretty much alleys. I guess they weren't streets, they were more alleys. But whenever it rained, there would be streams of water that would come down and trickle through whatever path it had managed to find. It had its own sights, it had its own smells, it had its own sounds, and some of them I distinctly remember. But about 3 weeks ago, I lay awake at night thinking about Stanley Market. Now, normally it's worries about finances or an interaction that I've had that keeps me up at night. But 3 weeks ago, I was thinking about Stanley Market. I don't think about Stanley Market all that much anymore. I don't think about Hong Kong all that much anymore. It's been over 20 years since I left and almost 20 years since I was last there visiting. So when it crosses my mind, it's only in passing. And that was the problem. I hadn't really thought about Stanley in ages. So I was lying awake at night, trying to recall what was at the end of one specific road. For 5 years, I regularly walked down that street. For 5 years, Hong Kong was my world. And not just any years, but adolescent years. These are definitive years in a life. When I moved back from Hong Kong and people asked where I was from, I didn't say Toronto, where I'd been born. I said Hong Kong because that was home. I don't remember when that stopped. But that I couldn't remember what was at the end of this street really bothered me. I went down to my computer, I turned on Google Earth, and I started exploring. What started out as a look down the street in question turned into a trip around Hong Kong and all those favorite places I had or those places I held in memory but I hadn't thought about in years. Each place I went to, each place I Googled, brought another spot to mind, and I'd explore there, looking at pictures, reading travel blogs. I never did find what was at the end of that street, actually. It's long since changed, because now, according to Google, what's there now, according to Google, was definitely not there 20 years ago. Since that night, I've been continuing to think about Hong Kong far more than I have in years. Remembering not only places, but people. Some who I was very close with, others who perhaps haven't thought of me for as long as I haven't thought of them. Remembering events and stories and images. It's been good, but far more than I had anticipated. It's been very unclear, clouded over by time and new memories. I recently had lunch with a retired ministry colleague who was also once my supervisor. And I reflected this to him and asked, could this be the early stages of a midlife crisis? And am I looking back on times that have long since passed and feeling not exactly sadness, but certainly melancholy and a bit of lament? And he said, well, it could be. It could be something like that. He paused for a second. But then again, he said, it could just as well be the Spirit calling you home. 2 years ago, at the General Council gathering in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, the former moderator, Peter Short, was able to put words on where my struggle lies. He provided the theological reflection at the end of the day, and he began by telling a story of getting called into the hospital to see a man who had asked to speak with a minister. And I won't get too far into that aspect of the story, though it's certainly powerful, and you can read it online through the Touchstone Journal. The man viewed himself as a failure. He had messed up so much in life and was even in the hospital because of that mistake. He shared his story with Reverend Short, and then, sitting after a long pause, he asked, "What church are you from?" "United Church." The man looked off, saying, "Oh, the United Church. Well, that's where I was baptized." Short writes beautifully in his Reflections on Ministry, "They can't take it away that once he was carried into a church, carried into a sacred place because in some way he was sacred too, and loved by the mother who carried him. Loved as much as life itself." And then I recall him closing with these words, "Remember where you come from." Amidst all the conversation about how we were going to make something new, Peter Short was getting up and saying, "Remember where you come from." Speaking out of a story from his ministry where a man was able to remember in the midst of his errors, his failures, his brokenness, that he came from somewhere special. Remember where you come from. These are the words that resonated with me, the words that I recall from that stage in Newfoundland. Remember where you come from. Moses looked out at the people. He took a breath. He'd been old when he first led the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, when he first challenged Pharaoh, when he first walked between walls of water in the Red Sea. He had been old when he first stepped up to the foot of Mount Sinai. But here, some 40 years later, 40 years of wandering through the desert, he was ancient. He knew he'd never cross into the promised land. He'd been told he'd only get to see it, and I'm not sure if that makes it better or worse. But the people were looking across the river to the land that had been promised to them generations ago. A promise they had been reminded of 40 years earlier when they left Egypt, and it was a promise that was about to be fulfilled because across the river was a good land, flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity. Of course the people will be looking ahead. Of course they would be hoping for their future, delighting in the possibilities of what was and what was about to come. Why would they look back? Why would they remember generations of slavery? Why would they remember wandering in a desert? But Moses won't let them go without telling them, "Remember how you got here. Remember who you are. Remember God who brought you out of slavery. Don't think you did any of this on your own. Remember where you come from." Deuteronomy is Moses' parting message to the Hebrews as they enter the promised land after many years under his leadership. And as that time together comes to an end, remember where you come from. Remember where you come from. I don't even know what that means. But I know it's important. It just sounds important when you say it. It connects us to something larger than ourselves, to something ancient, to something eternal, and we need that. We desperately need that. The postmodern world that has done some important work of looking at where we come from with a critical eye, that's good work it's done, and yet, in many cases, it's thrown the baby out with the bathwater. The result is that many of us are left isolated from one another, from the bigger world we're a part of, from our history, from our lives, from everything. We've forgotten where we come from. And so what I'm thankful for this year is not that I know where I come from, but that at least I know I came from somewhere. Or that I know how important it is to know we came from somewhere. So many people don't even have that. Don't know they're connected to something larger than themselves. So many people don't know that they are heirs to an inheritance that goes beyond them, that could be both grand and awful, or both. It's both marvelous and humbling. Where did we come from? How is 2,000 years of Christian history woven into our culture? How has that affected us positively and negatively? How has our descent as treaty people affected us? What does that say about us or to us? How does 4 billion years of evolutionary history exist within us? All questions of where do we come from? And the questions go on and on. And on, but when we explore these things, when we truly and honestly go about the task of remembering where we come from, we're exploring the great mysteries of the cosmos and seeking to know who we truly are. Remember where you come from. Because I believe if we ask that question enough, if we trace it back enough, we will find something sacred. Even if we look at where we come from with sadness and pain, whether that comes from perhaps family lives or cultural pain, I believe somewhere, if we trace it back far enough, even if we trace it back to being knit together in deep love in our mother's wombs, to our lives being knit together by pieces, by a loving God, if we trace it back far enough, we find something sacred and marvelous to rest in. Even if we have to trace it back 4 billion years to life pushing and pulling against itself to culminate in this moment now and beyond in who we are, 4 billion years of history. Remember where you come from. And be thankful. Because you come from somewhere. It's woven into your very being. I promise all of you, you come from somewhere. Remember where you come from. Thanks be to God. Amen.